A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis here taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. And Ton, just a gorgeous day. A lot of people are going to want to get out this weekend, go take a look at the fall leaves. And we're reaching the peak of the fall leaves, but I'm wondering, and I thought we should talk just for a minute about how drought and heat are impacting the leaves this year as compared to other years.
Yeah, there are, and I should get out very first, that there are still lots of areas that are very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get on Instagram and follow a lot of the, Utah's wonderful sites, the tourism sites and things like that, there are great places out there. You know, Tim mentioned going over Trapper's Loop near Snow Basin in his show. And I want to get that out there, that it's not like we're just going to have this like dumpy season and it's not worth getting out. But it's just more that the leaves may not be quite as brilliant as they are in a good year where we get lots of moisture.
Explain what happens and how the drought and heat do impact those leaves.
Well, the tree requires moisture to carry out its normal life processes. And what will happen is in a good year where there's lots of moisture, those leaves are cranking, and the tree will, what it does is it breaks down the things in the, when I say chemicals, the things in the leaves into sugars and pulls them down into roots. And in a year that we don't have really good moisture, that process just isn't as spectacular. And the colors are just a bit more muted.
And that being said, I have seen some beautiful drone video of some mountain scenery from up north that has just been spectacular. But we are pretty much reaching the peak right now, aren't we?
We're getting there over the next few weeks. And it depends on where you're at and what elevation. And so when I talked to Heather Kelly last, I think Monday or Tuesday, we mentioned that, up in the Cache Valley, there's areas in northern Cache Valley that are not in like severe drought yet. And so there may be areas up there that the colors aren't quite as muted as elsewhere, but, higher elevations, you can kind of see on the mountain as we get colder, the fall color change as, it just kind of goes to lower elevations over time. But a drive over Trapper's Loop, Nebo Loop, Alpine Loop, any of these sorts of just beautiful, scenic byways is well worth doing.
Right, and well worth doing in the next couple of weekends here.
It is. Now, as long as we don't get major snow, rain, or wind, I know that we've already had that in areas.
Yeah, let's not get any more of that, please.
Yeah, the leaves will actually hold on the tree sometimes into November. And I'm not saying that, just wait till then, but oftentimes we will be blessed with these colors until we get really heavy snow.
Okay. And if you would like more information on the fall leaves, we have put up a couple of great articles on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page that you can check out as well. We have a couple of people have been waiting on the phone for quite a while here. Let's go to Alex and Harriman. And good morning, Alex. How can we help you this morning?
Yeah. Hey, thank you for taking my call. Question. So real quick, a quick story. This summer, I came home from work one day, and my son had stripped the bark off our Burgundy Bell Red Maple. And so I'm pretty devastated about it. It's already dropped its leaves. It looked pretty good, but I guess my first question is there any way that could come back in the spring?
Well, if the bark is completely stripped off completely around the tree, probably not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was all the way around, so.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So the one thing, and I won't really call it an advantage, you purchased actual red maple, which is Acer rubrum. And there's a chance that unless you just had really good soil, that it would have struggled. And so it's not that your son did you a favor. I'm not saying that. But if you need to buy a new tree, I actually would steer clear of the red maples in favor of something like Pacific Sunset or maybe Norwegian Sunset that has a really good orangey red fall color, but is going to be far more likely to do well in our alkaline soil.
Okay. So then that was my next question. What can I get to replace it? So you're pretty sure though, it has no chance.
Well, you can leave it and see what happens. And it might even be that you see some bud formation and small leaves, but because there's not really any transport of nutrients and water back and forth because that bark's been stripped off all the way around the trunk, by mid-April, it'll probably collapse.
Okay. So you said Pacific Sunset and
yeah,
Norwegian Sunset?
Yeah, Pacific Sunset or Norwegian Sunset are both trees that will get 35 feet high and wide to 40. That would be beautiful. And they're a lot more adapted to our soil. And so they're not quite as crimson red as Burgundy Bell, but they still get a really nice orangey red color.
Okay. And they don't get they don't get super big, you said?
35 to 40 feet.
Okay. Yeah, my four-year-old decided it'd be fun to strip it clean. So.
Well, yeah, I remember when I was a little kid, my dad had handmade tomato cages out of wood. And me and my friend went out and karate chopped them all. And so I think it just happens with kids. And I'm sorry. And it would have been worth trying to make the tree grow once it was in the ground. But it may be that if it does die, that the saving grace is that you can replace it with something that looks very similar that's going to be much easier to take care of.
Well, and that was the thing, though. I had this tree for 7 or 8 years.
Oh, no. Did it color up well for you?
Yeah, it was looking really good, and so I was hopeful that there was a chance, but most people I talked to acted like it probably isn't going to survive. Oh. So
sorry, Alex.
Yeah, leave it in the ground until May and see what happens.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call this morning. Ton, we have the Marketing and Development Director for Tracy Aviary on the line right now. Patricia Dark is joining us and talk about Tracy Aviary. And Patricia, I want to tell you, I went to the aviary last summer with my family. And I hadn't been there in a few years because my kids are all grown up. And I was just astounded at the changes and how beautiful and how much the aviary has grown.
Isn't it gorgeous? Especially this time of year. Oh, it's, yeah. I'm glad you got to visit. Yeah, the aviary is looking great. We're also a botanical garden now, and I think that's what makes it so rich.
Mm-hmm. And some incredible indoor spaces that I had never seen before.
We have a rainforest, and it rains in there. It's really fun. The rainforest is pretty amazing because you have dozens of birds just free-flying in there, and it's warm, and it's green, and it's lush, and it's kind of like taking a little vacation.
Mm-hmm. Describe for us how people can help support the aviary.
It's been a rough summer because of COVID. You know, we really are very strict on how many people we allow in, but really the best thing people can do is to come visit us. Come enjoy our 8 acres of space, enjoy the rainforest, come see all our birds. While the weather holds, we still have our bird show, which is super fun. If you've never seen it, we have free-flying birds that fly right over your head. It's a great place to take the kids. In the mornings, we kind of keep it safe for people over 65. So if you've got grandparents, encourage them to come at 9 in the morning. It really just is. Just a beautiful, relaxing place. And we're in Liberty Park, so we're not far at all.
Right. I am amazed to hear that you have been offering virtual programs as well.
Yes. When we had to close down, we knew that our people, you know, our guests and our followers were missing our birds. So we have behind the scenes. We have education programs. We have story times, and they're all on our website. They're all free. So if you want to learn about birds and you want to hear some good stories, or we also have activities and arts and crafts that we have suggestions for, and it's all at tracyaba.org.
I understand you have some fun things coming up for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. This year, we decided that the birds get to have fun instead of the people. Well, there was all these issues. Do we, you know, we do normally do face painting and
pumpkin,
and we couldn't do that this year. So our keepers are going to go all out and decorate all the bird enclosures. They're even going to make a haunted house for New Zealand kea parrots.
But we can still come visit, too, and enjoy the decorations, right?
Absolutely. You can wander the eight acres of grounds and see what decorations they come up with.
And when will they be doing the decorating?
So it'll all be up for the 24th, the 25th, and the 31st of October.
Okay, you're going to be joining us throughout the hour, but how can people find out more information about the aviary and the wonderful programs that you do have?
All the information is on our website, which is tracyaviary.org.
Okay, and we'll talk to you again in a little bit. Thanks, Patricia.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. And let's go back to our phone lines now. We have, let's see, Mike, who's in Riverton. And good morning, Mike. How can we help you this morning?
I have a catalpa tree, 2 years old, and it's really pretty big leaves and a big umbrella. But one of the limbs busted off next to the trunk. What I'm wondering, when the leaves are all gone, how far do I trim that back?
Just go ahead and trim it now.
With the leaves on?
Yeah, that's fine. If it looks like that, it is probably, the catalpas have really brittle wood. And so if it looks like that, it's not going to recover, what you're going to do, well, let me ask, is any of the bark ripped where the branch is cracked?
It cracked right off next to the trunk, and it shows, you know, the color of the trunk.
Yeah, just go ahead and cut that off. Now, you may need to undercut first to prevent bark from ripping as you try to cut that branch out. But if it's cracked and broken, this is one of the exceptions to fall pruning. I normally don't recommend pruning things until midwinter into spring, but this is something that's a hazard, and you will want to just cut it out.
Okay, it pulled right off of the trunk itself. But what I'm wondering, with the surviving limbs, how far do I cut them back?
You don't.
Just leave them go.
Just leave them go. And then if this is the umbrella catalpa that looks like the Keebler elf tree.
It's an umbrella.
Yeah, and so you can do some pruning more in late winter on it. But right now it's trying to go dormant. And if you go do a lot of cutting on it, you'll delay dormancy and potentially cause more damage than you would the good you would do.
Okay, I got one little question. I got some cheap roses I bought, and I thought they'd be little close to the ground. Well, now they've grown 6 feet tall. I'd like to take them half of that off, but I don't know what to do.
Don't. You prune the roses in mid-March.
Okay, I'll just
now, if you've got branches that look like they're going to split out, you can cut them back to the point that they would support more of a snow load, but you don't do your major pruning on the roses until mid-March.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for listening this morning. Ton, our next texter is being tormented by goat's head and wondering what they can do to get rid of them. What's the best way to get rid of the goat's head weeds?
Well, it just depends on the situation. And this is one of those texts that we really need them to call in to find out about the situation. If it's a lawn or garden or where they're at. But in general, if they're in the lawn, making the lawn healthy will prevent them. And in flower beds, use of a pre-emergent like isoxaben that we mentioned earlier could work. But without more information, it's really tough for me to go beyond that.
All right. Next person's wondering why huckleberries can't be domesticated.
Because they're wild and free, and they won't bow to the man. Yes. No, huckleberries are a relative of blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go up to the Teton Valley, so on your next Idaho trip, Teton Valley, and you can go to local businesses, like in Driggs, there's this little place called the Emporium, and you can get huckleberry shakes, and they're mm-hmm. delicious. But there's actually it's suspected and just kind of, there's not been hard research done, but we suspect that there are what are called mycorrhizae or soil microorganisms that form relationships with the huckleberry, that when you try to transplant them into your yard, not only will they want acidic soil like blueberries, but you've got the further problem of somehow getting that mycorrhizae in that for some reason usually doesn't survive in our soils that well. And so I'm not talking about garden huckleberries, which are relatives of tomatoes, but bush huckleberries that actually taste good. Now, I just offended a lot of people. The garden huckleberries can taste good too. So please don't. Yeah. Anyway, so the bush huckleberry is just extremely difficult, and we've got two or three strikes against us already. Even they're going to be harder to take care of than blueberries.
Okay, let's take our next caller, who is Lynn in North Ogden. And good morning, Lynn. How can we help you?
Yes, in the spring when the pre-emergent lawn weed killer is spread on the lawn with the fertilizer, will the pre-emergent lawn weed killer also kill the violet plants that are throughout the lawn?
No, they won't. The violets are perennial. And a lot of times people just mow them and let that be a part of the lawn. If you want to get rid of them, you need to use a product with triclopyr in it. So something like T-Zone or 4-Speed XT.
Well, actually, we like the violet plants okay. in the lawn. So
oh, good.
We could use the pre-emergent lawn weed killer and it won't affect them, right?
Nope, it won't.
Okay, that's what we needed to know. We want to save them and keep them. We love
well,
them.
Congratulations. Thank you. That's a rare thing to hear. People, if there's one little weed in that lawn, but outside of Utah, those lawn violets are just part of the lawn, and they just, they flower in the spring and look pretty, and I really love your attitude. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener is wondering, they trim back a gangly mock orange bush in the spring. Now it's sprouting lots of new branches. They want to keep it smaller. Can they trim it again now?
No, we're going to have an intervention after the commercial break on fall pruning. We've had one a few weeks in a row, but no, leave the mock orange alone until spring, and you're going to use a process called renewal pruning. But genetically, that mock orange wants to get so big, and if it wants to get 10 feet tall and you're trying to keep it at 3, initially you're going to make it really angry, and then you're eventually going to kill it.
All right. Next listener says they have leaf hoppers on their grapevines. They've progressively gotten worse over the last 3 years. What can they do to get rid of them now and while they have fruit and in the dormant season? What can they do?
In the dormant season, not much, but right now they could apply. Now, they need to time this because if the grapes are ready to harvest, they're going to want to harvest first because there will be an interval. And I would need to look up a few things, but something like spinosad, I believe, is labeled. And they would spray, especially the undersides of the leaves. And they may need to do this a few times to really control them.
Tips on care for brand new sod this time of year on a property near Draper Park.
Keep it moist. Don't drown it to death. It will take 2 or 3 weeks before it really starts forming roots. But even if the city cuts off your secondary water, if you have it, you may need to use culinary irrigation if we stay really dry mm-hmm. to get it established.
Next person is asking about necrotic rain spot in their lawn. What are your ideas for that?
Man, this is another one that's just an entire segment. But go ahead, Maria.
Do you want to hold that one for just a moment?
Yeah, let's hold that one.
Okay, we do have Patricia from Tracy Aviary on the... Oh, my goodness, my mouth today. Patricia from Tracy Aviary on the line with us this morning, and we're talking about ways to support Tracy Aviary. And Patricia, thanks for joining us this morning, and I hope people come out and visit your beautiful gardens.
Oh, me too. The plants we have, the gardens, everything's turning these gorgeous colors right now, so it's a great time to visit.
We were talking earlier about your indoor spaces as well and the new things that you have at the aviary for people to really take in.
I had mentioned our tropical rainforest, which in winter is just magical, especially if outside it's cold and gloomy. Inside it's just green and lush. And you have dozens of birds singing and making all these beautiful songs. It's just, it's my favorite place to kind of sneak off to and just kind of reboot myself in
right.
the middle of the day.
Nothing like that nature to recharge.
Oh, yeah. Just being surrounded by so many beautiful plants and trees and green and bird song. Yeah. These are tough times. I think we're all really tired. So that kind of reaching out and being in nature is just makes you feel so much better so quickly.
Right. Another great way to support the aviary, I know, is your memberships for the holidays. Describe what people can do.
So our memberships are very reasonable, but thanks to a grant that we got from the state of Utah, we're doing 35% off between now and December. So you can, it makes the great, best gift you could possibly imagine, because you can come and visit the aviary every day if you wanted with a membership. And, for example, a membership for two people is only $42.
Mm-hmm. And what a great gift for, you know, anyone in the family, grandparents.
Yeah, for grandparents, all our paths are easily accessible. It's all very smooth. It's very safe. We're incredibly clean, and we're very, very careful with our guests. Especially due to COVID, we limit how many people come, so it does make a great grandparents' gift.
Right. For those people who... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Patricia. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Sorry, I was just going to say that for $42, you're giving two people the gift of nature. You know, the pleasure of walking in gardens and being with birds.
Mm-hmm. For those folks who have been concerned, you also have virtual programs you want to tell folks about.
Yes, our virtual programs are online. We do everything from teaching you how to identify different type of woodpeckers to doing arts and crafts with the kids, all kinds of activities. We do behind the scenes. You get to watch some of our birds doing some of their tricks. Our birds love to play with toys, and depending on the bird, depending on the kind of toy that they get, it's called enrichment, and we try to create things that make the birds act and react like they would in nature. So if it's a bird that likes to dig, we'll give them a big box full of like feathers and sticks and stones, and they like to dig and find their treats in there. So we have a lot of videos of that, which are really fun, and we also have story times with the little kids. We even have a story time with a cockatoo that helps turn the pages.
And can people find more information on your website, right?
TracyAvery.org.
Okay, we'll talk to you again in a few minutes. And we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call if you have a question, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.